take a seat, and our young friends are dismissed to kids' church, to the kids' table. They can head out the back and get ready for their special time today. And you'll see we're reconfiguring the stage behind me, and that is for a purpose, so don't be distracted. But just a good morning to everybody. Good morning. Okay, that was weak. Is everybody just like tired today? Right, it was like rainy yesterday. We're just like huddled. Okay, let's try that again. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Okay, we're gonna need your enthusiasm and excitement today, because we're gonna be sharing some stories. But also, just a note, we have chickens in the back. If you didn't visit them, our two chicks that hatched before Easter, Mary and Peter, they have grown quite a lot, and this is what I'm calling the chicken farewell tour. And not because we're going to eat them or anything, so just don't take that. They're going to be making their new home over at the chicken coop at Cedar Cliff High School this week. So you can pay them a visit after the service. Say goodbye to them. They are excited, I think, for their new home. They will miss you all. I just will say that on their behalf. But anyway, so we worshipped last week and celebrated Easter Sunday. Many of you were with us or online with us. Special welcome to our friends online. And Jesus is still risen. He's risen indeed. But also, I don't know about you, but like meanwhile, it's Sunday again, right? Like we just had a whole week go by. Lots of things maybe has happened. We return to our lives, our work, our routines, the chaos around us, the sin and brokenness that plagues our world and in the land. And we've just proclaimed the powers of sin and death and evil have been defeated by Jesus. But then we look around, right? And we wonder, we think. Two questions mainly come to mind here. The first being, how do we make sense of the great truth of the resurrection in the midst of our struggles in a world that seems still engrossed in death? You ever wonder that? Maybe that's where you are now. How do we make sense of the truth of resurrection in the midst of our own struggles and then the world that seems engrossed in death? And then the second question, how do we not forget that Jesus is still bringing resurrection? How do we do those things? We're going to attempt to answer that today. But first, I want to kind of characterize, set the stage here by just telling you a brief story. It's a story of Martha Cohn. She was a Jewish French teenager during World War II. Her autobiography, if you are a reader, or I think it's an audiobook as well, it's Behind Enemy Lines. You can read that. But Martha's story, she grew up in the northeastern Lorraine part of France, northeast area, on the Franco-German border in between France and Germany. And when the Nazis invaded France and took over that region in World War II, of course, the people were in great danger. And so her story really tells a powerful story of through the war, she and her family hid from the Nazis. She lost her sister to the Auschwitz death camp. And her dad was sent away, and even her fiancé, who was a French resistance fighter, he was shot by the Germans. So she lost a lot. And you imagine that all around her, the world was in massive turmoil. Massive turmoil. But finally, a day on June 6, 1944 arrived, known as D-Day, where the Allies invaded Normandy, and the Germans surrendered at the shores of France. The rest of the German armies then began a slow retreat out of France. And Martha tells the story, though, of how in their little home, she and her mom sat around every evening listening to the radio, hearing about the stories and the news of liberation that was happening as the Germans were retreating. But Paris is liberated. The whole city of Paris marches through the boulevard singing. This is a picture of that. Italy to the south gets liberated. D-Day had happened. The decisive battle had been won. And yet outside Martha's door, in that little border between France and Germany, German soldiers still stood guard. See, no one doubted, including the Germans, that the war, for all intents and purposes, was over. But even in the liberated territories, there were still German snipers who were shooting people. There was still darkness. Whole towns in France had not heard the good news that D-Day had happened, and they were still held by the Germans. And Martha herself, living at the border, she would venture into the occupied territory, disguised as a German nurse. She would provide intelligence for the Allies, but battles would continue right until the time that Berlin was taken by the Allies. And Germany surrendered on what's known as VE Day, on May 8th, 1945. Almost a whole year later, right? A whole year where there was still darkness, where it didn't look like anything was happening. From D-Day to V-Day, there were many people in villages in Europe who were still living under the assumptions that the Nazis still ruled. Well, think about that story. And I think this is kind of the existence, somewhere in between D-Day and V-Day, that describes our life and our existence after Easter, right? We live in the tension that there has been a decisive victory of God in the resurrected Christ 2,000 years ago. And there will be a completion of Christ's reign over the whole earth that will happen at his final return. But just like in the days between D-Day and V-Day, we Christians, we're still tempted all the time to think that we still need to continue to live under enemy rule. That even though our lives have already been liberated. And that's why, friends, that's why we need to tell our stories. We need to tell our stories. We share stories of new life that Jesus brings us and how we can partner with him. Even in the midst of darkness, even though it may seem like the rule is still by the evil one, that we can look around and we can see the parts and the pieces of the kingdom shooting up here and there in our lives and in our world. See, the powerful work of God here and now and the ways that he's bringing resurrection in big ways, in small ways, in our lives, in our relationships, in our neighborhoods, and among us is a powerful thing. See, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he speaks about this. He says this, in starting in verse 20, he says, "But Christ indeed has been raised from the dead. The first fruits, he was the first one of those who have fallen asleep. Since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man, through Jesus. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, the first one. Then when he comes, those who belong to him." So friends, the good news is the liberation has begun. Despite what you may see or feel or experience. And Jesus was the first of many who will be liberated, who are liberated from the fear of death, from the rule of sin and evil and in the brokenness of the world and called to participate in God's kingdom here and now, to move from death to life. So for that, today we're going to share some stories of those who have experienced exactly that in three different ways. And I'm going to ask if you guys are sharing here, Barb and Debbie, if you guys want to come up and take a seat. And Doug, you come on up. Brian, come on up. I'm going to be sharing a couple of these stories today, people that have experienced that. So I want you to think of today's message as really being like Martha and her mother, crouched down close to the radio. The darkness is outside. It doesn't seem like their victory, even though it's taken place. But you're listening to the stories of hope, reminded that God is still at work and his kingdom is now, but not yet. So welcome, guys. Thanks for joining us. If you guys can just flip. There we go. We're going to have Doug go first here. So let me move my podium out of the way so you all can take a good seat here. Go. So thank you guys for being willing to share today. And like I said, we're going to have three different stories. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Thank you, Nick. We have three different stories of people who have experienced resurrection in ways. And you may be familiar, you may not be, but I'm praying that each person here may connect in a different way. So we'll start off with sort of, how are you doing, Doug?
I'm well.
You're doing well today? Okay, great. So Doug, I'm just going to ask three questions to each of these folks. They may answer all three in their story and telling their story. But Doug, tell us about a time of darkness and death that you recently found yourself in.
Yeah, so it really started about 7 years ago. Woke up one morning, felt like I'd pulled a muscle, and kind of progressed quickly. I had a blood clot in my leg, and over the past 7 years, I've had a couple, and then starting last September, it just got progressively worse. I'd have a blood clot, the doctors would change the blood thinner that I was on, never really figured out what was causing them. It went from 1 month, then I got a new clot. 3 weeks later, another clot. They were switching the thinners I was on. Then January 1st, was playing Legos with the boys. and my chest hurt, and all the signs. Went to the ER, had a pulmonary embolism where the clot broke free, went to my lungs, and fortunately, actually, it peppered out. So it was a bunch of little clots in my lungs everywhere, in the right and the left. Doctors still didn't really know what was causing it, and they were going to just send me home on more blood thinners. And I kind of protested and said, you know, something needs to change. And it just felt so hopeless. They were going to send me home, and I felt like they were going to send me home to die. Then I said, send me somewhere better. Let's go to Johns Hopkins. I was just reaching for the stars. Like, what can you do? And they said, yeah, we can do that. So they called in a referral, and then they came back and said, Johns Hopkins is not accepting transfer patients. And again, felt even more hopeless, like can't even go somewhere. So we'll send you to Hershey. You know, they're not bad, maybe not the best. But then 30 minutes later, they came in and said, Hopkins called back. They'll take you. Why? What changed? I have no idea. God. I mean, what else can you say? Then later at Hopkins, they did discover what the cause was. I mean, when I say world first class. So they discovered it is this rare syndrome, actually more common in women that are pregnant, called May-Thurner, but I had it. And so it was like how they discovered this and how everything progressed. It's like, it just felt like a miracle. So then the surgery is typically an outpatient surgery. And they said, we'll get you on the waiting list. It'll be about 3 weeks. And again, it kind of felt a little disheartening. 3 weeks, I had gone 2 weeks before getting a pulmonary embolism. It felt kind of necessary to speed things up. And they said, look, we hear you, but that's the schedule. We can't get you in. And so I felt, again, like I was going to be just sent home. And I was in a dark place. I thought I was going home to die. And then 2 hours later, the doctor came in and says, has the surgeon talked to you yet? I said, why would the surgeon talk to me? There was a cancellation tomorrow morning. We're getting you in for surgery tomorrow morning. And I mean, it just like tears in my eyes. And then when I was on the surgery table, I remember the surgeon's nurse assistant saying, hey, you're in good hands. And now I'm in the spot. I can't remember the name, but the name of the doctor, he was the world-leading surgeon in this field. I mean, they had to put a stent in me. But then since then, so that was January 5th. And since then, I mean, I'm still on blood thinners, but I haven't had a recurring clot. And it was, they treated the source, not the symptom. But there were so many times where I felt hopeless. I felt like I was going to die. And I didn't, and it's why me? I don't know. I often think, why Lazarus? What was he thinking when these miracles happened? Because, you know, when you talk to someone who their faith is shaken, and they can cite stories of how bad things happened. So I don't know why, but just reoccurring miracle after miracle after miracle. So I could be here today, and I feel blessed to be able to share this story.
That's awesome, Doug. Thanks for sharing that. And I just want to ask, how has that impacted your faith, that experience?
Stronger than ever. I mean, and that's where I just know. I mean, you can say there's a coincidence once. You can say there's a coincidence twice even. But the way it happened, to me, there's no possible way that it was that many series of coincidences.
Thanks, Doug. Yeah, and just what would be one word of encouragement that you'd like to just share with everybody that's listening today?
It's a stark reminder, whether it be cliche or not, that life is so precious, that make that kiss extra sweeter and that hug extra longer. Though it's easy to say, and I still struggle to do it, but with my kids, with my family, with my loved ones, with my friends, make that time is precious, and just take advantage of it. And I mean it, just that hug and that kiss, make it last, because life is short. And even Lazarus, when he was resurrected, eventually did pass. Life is not promised tomorrow, so make the most of it today.
Thanks, Doug. Yeah, and praise God. God still does healings and miracles today. And I'm we're praising God for you. So let's give Doug and God a round of applause. Yeah, and for many of us that have seen Doug walk through that and been praying for him, we've been along the journey as well. So praise God for all that. Thank you. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
So, and by the way, this is not an easy thing to get up in front of all these people and share today. So especially these guys have great courage to share their stories. So go ahead and pass that to Brian. And Brian, if you can tell us a little bit about time of darkness and death that you found yourself in your experience.
I actually have two stories, but I'm only going to give you one.
Okay.
The most recent one. July 2nd, 2020, at the end of my work day, I was talking to a friend on the phone, and I was really at my end. I was 70 pounds heavier than I am now. Everything was a burden. You know, getting dressed was a burden. I could get into bed or get into the car, but getting out of the car or getting out of bed was extremely difficult. Getting dressed and everything, it was real hard. Life was just progressively harder and harder. And I finally reached the end, and I needed help. And so I told my friend, I said, yeah, I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. Well, she doctors at the same place I do, and she knew that they were closed before the 4th of July. And she said, you can't go tomorrow. You have to go today. Well, I went to All Better Care out on the Columbia Pike, because I knew that they, I'd been there before, they had all my records. And when they called me back, the doctor was about 20 feet away from me, and he said, get back in your car and drive to West Shore Hospital. If you don't know where that's at, we'll take you. And I'm like, he's not even going to see me? I mean, actually, he was a highly trained surgeon, and he could diagnose me from 20 feet. Later that night, after I got to West Shore Hospital, I was diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver. That night, 13 liters of fluid were drained from my abdomen. And that started a whole new chapter in my life of, I continued to drink. I'd been drinking daily for 14 years. And even after having sobriety, back in the 80s and 90s. And most of my hospitalizations were either injuring myself during a blackout or trying to detox on my own, and that never worked out good. So, so May 26th, 2021, so 10 months after that first encounter, I decided to, I'd had enough for real, I was at the bottom. And I really had said, I'm not from this area. I really had very little idea where to go. And I looked at Alcoholics Anonymous, I looked them up online, and I was led to a meeting in Spry. I had no idea where Spry was, but when I got there to Spry, my life has changed, and I haven't looked back since then. Next month, I'll celebrate 4 years of sobriety.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Brian. That's amazing. And in the midst of that, how have you experienced God's resurrection power?
Well, as I mentioned, the one doctor that I saw at All Better Care was a surgeon that actually treated liver patients during his day job. Had I got a different doctor, things might have turned out differently. At that first meeting in Spry, out of 40 people at that meeting, there was one guy that had experienced liver failure such as I had experienced, and I've still cling to that man. We talk every day, even 4 years later. And there's been many times where I was put on a different spiritual path after getting physically sober. Physical sobriety is not enough. Living life on life's terms and just trying to live life and help others. And I trust in God for that, to lead me. And my life is pretty darn good right now.
Thanks, Brian. And what would be your word of encouragement or advice that you'd like to give everyone that's listening right now?
Two words. Listen, act. There's been three or four times here in the last 4 years where the Spirit has told me exactly what to do, and I walked away. Having the connection to a higher power and then not following those directions gets me nowhere. And so I have to listen, and then I have to take action.
Brian, yeah, and once again, let's praise God for his work in Brian's life and willingness to share. Yeah. And also just a note too, if you or someone you know is in a place of wrestling through addiction, Brian's a great guy to talk to. I've been to a meeting together. I've been able to go with him and to experience that 12-step program and also. So anyway, he's a great resource. I encourage you to connect with him as well. So on to our third story, which is also different than our other stories. We have Barb and Debbie, who, once again, our church has been a part of this story, but you may not know the full thing. So Barb, tell us about a time of darkness that you found, that both of you
well,
found yourself
Well, like Chris
in.
Said, it's incredibly difficult to be up here, so I'm going to read to you.
She wrote this out like 2 weeks ago, by the way, so they're very prepared here.
4 years ago, I met Debbie. Over the years, Debbie had experienced a lot of loss. She lost her father, her mother, her stepfather, and her husband. And the church she attended closed, and she didn't drive anymore. When I met her, she was pretty much just existing. She needed someone to come alongside her. Our kids were considering marriage, and so we began our journey together. It was a time of darkness because there were so many uncertainties. And the death of a life that we had been living for several years of living with our kids was over. I want you to see how God used so many of you in our story. In searching for an apartment, I visited Dawn Spangler, and the light bulb came on that we should move to this Lewisberry community. Several of you helped to move us. As time went on, we became aware that in considering the future, we needed to move closer to town for several reasons. I visited Lila Folk, and once again, the light bulb came on that we should move here. This time, we each have our own apartment, but are in the same building where we can still be a support to each other. And once again, many of you helped us move. And so many of you continue to be a support to us. Debbie is thriving with so many friends and church family, and has become an important part of the care and community team and the supper table team. God's hand has been evident in every step we have taken. Things that seemed impossible kept opening up, and so we have witnessed in tangible ways God's resurrection power. And so I would encourage you to seek God's will for your life daily. Ask him how you fit into his plan for you. I guarantee it'll be nothing like what you could have imagined, but God will confirm in many ways what his plan is. Thank you all for your part in our story and for being our treasured church family.
That's great. Thank you, Barb, for sharing that. And Debbie, you want to add anything to that? No? Okay, that's okay. And it's been a joy to see the friendship of these two ladies and just the power of God's hand really in our lives. And once again, three stories here, very different, but all have one thing in common is God's work in their lives and story in different ways. And just I think that's a great point to end on here is, just as Barb said, to listen, to be aware, to know that God is at work in your story and in your situation and the world around you, maybe calling you to do something and to stretch out of your comfort zone to be a part in the source of that healing and redemption that God has. I'd like to pray for you all. Is that okay? I'd like to pray before they take their seats. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the power of these stories that are shared, Lord. From medical miracles, Lord, to recovery, to friendship, and just that willingness to take that step, to act, to not ignore, but to watch, and to watch you at work, God. And in big and in small ways, Lord, help us. Help us to participate in that work, Lord, that as we live in between your victory at the first D-Day, Lord, until the VE Day, Lord, that is to come when you make all things right for good, Lord. Help us to be a source of that healing and redemption in our world. Help us to have eyes to see friends in need and people around us to care for. Help us to know that there is nothing that is impossible, Lord, and that addiction does not have to have the final say in our lives. And even as our bodies don't work as we would like, Lord, that you are still the great physician, Lord. You work through medical science, and you work through your great power, God. We submit all these things to you. We praise you today, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all. You all can take a seat. Thank you for sharing today. And that's where we are, remembering that God's power is still a part of our story and a part of our power. And that's why the power of stories is so important. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my lives when I've been discouraged or disheartened. And hearing one little glimpse of something that God is doing somewhere else gives me hope.